cover some current events that's going on right now. And also, I feel like there's some things that you should know, because a lot of you are related or don't know you're related to young athletes that are inspiring or aspiring to become college athletes, and I'm pretty sure from college athletics to being professionals. So let me start with this whole Trump thing. It's funny and hilarious, but yet sad, to watch human beings really worship a Freemason and don't understand that all of this is just to rile you up. It's the energy harvest. The reason why they put Trump through all these civil court ceremonies and these civil court, criminal court rituals is to get you to feed into it, but also to get you to give money. He's on trial, or he's already been convicted of hush money. They open up a charity through his PAC where you can donate money in different tiers of donating. You can donate as a subscription, or you could just donate randomly. And I seen a screenshot where somebody already was donating $100. One person donated $21.07. It sounds like he literally donated all that was in his bank account. But it's to siphon money from you. It's to siphon energy from you. They built the courtrooms. They built the jurisdictions. They built these laws, these covenants, and these commandments of men. Freemasons built this. So none of them are ever going to go to jail. They never lose. Everything you see that's been put in your face by a Freemason, it's to get your attention. As long as you are paying attention to their narrative, their timeline, their stories, you're not paying attention to law, statute, commandments, or getting yourself right to be protected in these last days. See, this is the one thing that Egypt did not have. When we read about the plagues of Egypt, we don't read that Pharaoh was holding games and ceremonies and you know, sporting events or having theater. We don't read any of that. We just know that Pharaoh knew what was going on. The people knew what was going on. And they had to go through these plagues, all knowing what was going on and who was the cause of these plagues. Right now, since America is second Egypt through the curse of Deuteronomy 28:68, we know we're going to have our second Exodus, and we know this is the second Egypt. But what America has that Egypt didn't have is marketing, television, media, narratives, storylines, rituals. So you never know if it's truly the end times based on you sitting too close to the television set. So watching people getting riled up and going to Trump Tower, cheering and cursing at those who they think put him in jail or convicted him, so forth, blaming one administration that has no power in it. The presidents don't have any power. They're just the image. But people fall for this image. They protest for this image. And it's hilariously sad that these people will go through life not ever finding out the truth. And most of these people you know or you see on TV are Gentiles. You do not see awakened Israelites standing in front of Trump Tower begging the media for Trump to not go to jail. You see Gentiles. So if you are a Gentile, you should be counting yourself lucky and blessed by the Most High, Yahuwah, our Redeemer, and our Yeshua. Because it's plain to see these people don't have it, mentally or spiritually. But all this is fake. It's to get you ready for a civil war that's coming. And you know they're going to jack up the election results. You know that's coming. I don't know why I keep seeing the number 56, but Trump was saying 5% and 6%. And then he said, oh, I want everybody to wait till November 5th, which is, I guess, election time. But the time between his court sentencing, or not sentencing, the time that he came out of the court after that final judgment It's 5 months and 6 days till November 5th. And all I've been seeing or knowing about this case or about his situation is the number 56 for some reason. I can't put my finger on why, but that's what I see. I see a frequency. I could see the channel that they're on that you don't see. They're on a numeric channel that most people don't see, but I see it, which strings all these things along, which makes me believe that it's all fake, that it's just getting you ready for a civil war. That's all it is. Except this civil war is not going to come from the right side. It's to get the left side riled up at the right side so they think already that, oh, because you stormed the Capitol, that means we should be able to storm the Capitol. You did it and got away with it, so we should be able to get away with it. And that's what they've been working spiritually with this false equivalency doctrine. I've heard so many of my brothers and sisters use this same doctrine as to equate why certain things happen to them. Oh, this person did it, but we couldn't let George Floyd get away with it. Oh, this person did it, but Michael Brown couldn't get away with it. That's what we do. We compare apples to oranges. We want to be like our oppressors. So that spirit and that doctrine is already working amongst us. So as soon as it hits the fan, that's exactly what's going to happen. My theory is Trump will get in, but the election results will be contested. They're already working on trying to demonize him so beyond the point where they think him coming back in power is going to turn everything upside down, which it has nothing to do with a president whose terms is 4 years. There's nothing you could do in 4 years that they already haven't not been planning. Not one president has changed anything. 4 years is not enough to change this country. They've already programmed what each president's image is going to be, which means they have already decided that we're going to go different phases into the Antichrist. And then after the Antichrist, then you see what's going to happen, which is judgment. It's just to string you along, to blind you. So it was really pathetic to see grown men crying and screaming and cursing because they think Trump is going to jail, that he won't be in the presidential election. He'll be in it. They're going to use him to dangle in front of the liberals. And that's when you need to start preparing what else is going to come with that. The whole Hamas and Israel thing, and then all these protests are happening on our, I ain't going to say our, but on American soil. That's also to keep the juice running. That's why they keep in the news, they keep telling you, oh, U.S. missiles have been used in Ukraine versus Russia. U.S. missiles have been used in Yemen and the Houthis. Why do you keep, they keep telling you that it's the U.S. military's weapons that's ending up in places of war or places in conflict? Because they know that once they get ready to do a false flag, you could look at it as, oh, we are being blamed because our weapons are the ones that's killing and maiming civilians. So we deserve retribution and vengeance on us because of what we are doing overseas. They're setting this up beautifully. You know it's going to be another false flag to get us into the New World Order. We are the last chip. We're the last pawn on this board. And they're going to do it with mass casualties and mass chaos. But people don't think this isn't going to happen. I've seen countless movies of them trying to destroy New York. I told you about the Batman Dark Knight Rises, where they were locked in New York City and then they start blowing up the bridges. They have another movie coming out. If you heard of The Quiet Place, you've seen the first two. Now they're doing a prequel to that. The third one's a prequel of the day one when these animals come out of the sky. And where do you think they're coming out at? They're coming out in New York City. So again, they want to lock down New York City because if you've seen the movie Quiet Place, you know these animals go off sound. So they destroyed the bridges in New York City to lock people in. Now, I'm not gonna say they are most definitely are gonna destroy the bridges a lot of people in, but I could see them cutting those bridges off. So they tell you, we don't want terrorists to escape. So we have to lock down the city. We don't know where these sleeper cells are. We don't know where these terrorist cells are. So let's lock down the city where no one can go in and out of the city. Then it comes to mind, when resources can't come into the city, that means resources getting shut off. That means looting and rioting. That means the police aren't going to be of use. They're going to have to need the military to come in. And this is around the financial districts. That's why they want it to happen to New York. Because if you want to get us to the CBDC and this one world currency, you have to take out New York first. That's the financial mecca. And I feel sorry for anybody who's going to be trapped in New York at that time. You're going to endure something you have never endured in your life. Not even your ancestors have endured this in their lifetime. I can't tell you to pack up and leave. That's between you and Yah. But I'm telling you, this is all being predicted, programmed through media, through movies, to tell you they're going after New York. Now, about this NIL deals that you see in news mostly, you rarely ever see anything about pro sports. I mean, the NBA players, the playoffs is going on, but most what you're hearing most about is the NIL deals with college players or high school athletes. The reason why they do this, and I think you need to pay attention to this, because some of you are related to athletes, as I said, who are aspiring to be college athletes or college football players. They are giving these young kids deals because it's the easiest contract you can get. When you go into Freemasonry, we can give you X amount of dollars. Just be a Freemason. They're going to fund. That's what they want. They want to funnel kids into this Freemasonry or Luciferianism. That's the reason why they wanted college players to get paid. It wasn't what they were fighting not to pay them. They say, okay, if we pay you, this is what comes with it. That means you're going to see more blood sacrificing out of these young players. You're going to see a whole lot of, they're going to space it out now. They're not going to let a college player sign to like Duke and then his parents go missing the next day. No, it's not going to work like that. But they're keeping track. So the earlier they get you into these contracts of Freemasonry through money, that means all you're doing is accruing debt to them. That means you're going to owe. By the time you leave college, you're going to at least owe your sexuality, blood, or an embarrassment ritual. It's coming. You may not get it in the 4 years of you there, but you're going to get it. You're going to have to offer something. They're paying players $800,000, up to $2 million or a million just to play college ball for 4 years. And you may not even play for all four. You may play three. You may play, they may pay you to play two. This is how out of hand it is. And then the reason why the NFL changed the number system where you could basically be a running back and wear number 8 is because they want the college and the pro game to run as one product. They want it to look the same. They want it to act the same. So it's a farm. All they did is combine the farm. It used to be, you look at college football and you look at pro football, it's two different things. You know it's two different products. But now because they changed the numerical system and the fact they're paying college players, they want to merge it. So it's going to be a Freemason field. And this is important because some of you are related to or don't know you're related to where your name is going to come up with blood sacrificing. It's going to come up. Somebody's going to try you or lure you into a situation that may seem eerie to you or you don't understand. I'm telling you, if it happens to you, this is where it's coming from. So you better go down the roster of your family members and keep your eyes open. Now, the one thing I start investigating is names, or why we call certain things the way we call them. I started off with thinking about cocaine. I was like, why do we call it cocaine anyway? And I only remember the other half of it, which was cane. And I said, why would they name it cane though? Because I know the coca leaf comes from the ground. The ground is brown. That's the Adam came from the ground. That means his children, the ground, after Eve. And then, obviously, when Cain was marked leprous, he was marked white. So you take the coca leaf as brown, then you had to do something chemical-wise, and then, boom, you turn it into powder, and it's white, and it's cocaine. So I always wondered, why do we call it the cocaine? I think it's more than just because of the leaf. I think it has a lot to do with giving ode to Cain. And then I started going a little bit further, and I started thinking about Israel and what it means to them. They say, if you look it up, it says God perseveres. But if you go to the book of Yasher, the reason why it's called Yasher is because it's called the book of the upright. Now, we know Jacob, was his name was changed to Yasharel, which means the upright of God. Yashareli, that means we are the people who are the upright people of God. That's why names mean something. That's why they change names, because it takes away the power of it. That's why I'm not arguing with Christians. If they want to call him Jesus Christ and thinks he, because he appeared to you, or you think he appeared to you, and you use the name, and the name you think the name works for you, that's between you and Yah. It truly is. But I know the name that they are scared to mention. I know the name they're scared to invoke. That's how you should look at this world. What are they really scared of? If these people are so proud and boastful about hating the Most High's commandments and hating his son and not reading chapter 53 of Yeshayahu, why won't they ever say it? Why don't they ever curse the true name of the Father or the true name of the Son? Because these people are cowards. They can't. So it makes you think, how much power does that name really have if the enemy, who's done so much to prove that they hate the Most High, they never mention him. They never mention his name. It's not like even if they told what his real name was, it's not like the Most High is going to listen to everybody who's calls on his name. If you're not in these commandments, if you're not in these statutes, it says he don't hear sinners. So they could learn his real name all they want, or know the son's real name all they want. It won't make no difference. There, as you read in scripture, their prayers won't even pierce the clouds. So if these people are really this big and bad, why can't they ever say the name and boast about it? That means they don't have that much power. That means the real power is in the name, the true name, the original name. And then I thought, why do we used to grow up calling people Nimrods, like as if they were stupid? This is like a Gen X or boomer term. I used to be like, why would these people be like, you effing Nimrod? No, it's not like that, you Nimrod. Why do we call it that? Because we learn in scripture, or learn in Jasher 7 particularly, that Yasher, that Nimrod but his parents, Cush, took the garments of Adam and Eve and gave them to Nimrod. So Nimrod wore what Adam was blessed with as far as covering up when he knew that he sinned and his eyes was open. So the garments that the Most High made for Adam and Eve, they were taken from Noah, or stolen from Noah, and it was given to Nimrod. And it says Yahuwah was with Nimrod, giving him strength and might because he put these garments on. So the Most High was with Nimrod. And then when he got haughty, when he got high-minded, He started to sin and started making idols of wood and stone and doing the worst than everybody did before the flood, it says. And then he thought that he could build a tower up into heaven and slay the Most High and the heavenly beings that's up there. You got to be real. Now we think of it like, how dumb can you think you are when you think you can breach the firmament? Matter of fact, just build a tower with just stones and wood and think you're going to go all the way up there to shoot arrows into the sky. So I thought that was funny, like why we call people who are dumb Nimrods. And now we know why. But we talk about the days of Noah. And I was reading, of course, the Bible studies with my mom. We got into the book of Yasher. And before chapter 7, when it talks about how Nimrod was walking with Yahuwah, it also talks about in the book of Yasher, the days of Noah, what the true days of Noah means. I think people say that, you know, the days of Noah, but don't really understand what was going on at that time. So I'm going to go through Yasher 6, 11 to 26. And on that day, Yahuwah caused the whole earth to shake, and the sun darkened, and the foundations of the world raged, and the whole earth was moved violently. And the lightning flashed, and the thunder roared, and all the fountains in the earth were broken up, such as was not known to the inhabitants before. And Elohim did this mighty act in order to terrify the sons of men, that there might be no more evil upon earth. So here we go again, the Most High using the orbs of light the same way he's going to use them when he comes back before his day of vengeance, which is darkening the sun, darkening the moon. But it doesn't say it darkened the moon. It just says the sun will be darkened. So he gave people warning on top of the 125 years to get themselves right. And people still chose their own way. And still the sons of men would not return from their evil ways. And they increased in the anger of Yahuwah at that time and did not even direct their hearts to all this, just like we will today. Just like we will be today, except we got TV, media, phones, social media. He could do the same thing in the sky right now, and we're still thinking like, oh, it's HARP. That's the other reason for it. Like, oh, we have HARP. We got DARP. It's just we're used to these tornadoes and earthquakes, and that's why HARP and DARP are turning the frequency up in these clouds and cloud seeding, is so you don't know when the Most High is going to use weather or darken the sun or darken the moon or darken the stars. We're going to think or assume it's man-made stuff. And that's why I said you need to understand the basics of this system. Learn it. Some of you be like, oh, I just need to learn scripture and I'm good. The knowledge is there for us to learn everything about this system. So when we come out of it, we know the exact type of nonsense we will see from this world that's going to be completely different from when Yahuwah comes back. And some people are going to be fooled because they do not know the difference of this system. And they don't look at it through symbolism, numbers, colors, or organizations. You have to do your homework. So you're not fooled, because I'm telling you, it's going to blend. With AI coming out, it's going to blend in. And if your senses and your discernment is not there, you can fall too. Like even it says in scripture that when the Antichrist comes on stage, it may even fool the elect, if that's possible. And at the end of 7 days, in the 600th year of the life of Noah, the waters of the flood were opened, were upon the earth, and all the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. I love that. I talked about this last time, how the Most High uses almost the same numbers in almost everything. 40 days and 40 nights. Moshe, when he went up to get the commandments, he was up there, what, 40 days, 40 nights. Came back down, broke them, went back up there for what? Another 40 days, 40 nights. It was what, 40 years in the wilderness. And I was looking at the path. I was trying to find the path of where they actually went from Egypt down into South Africa, because that's where I think they went. I don't think they went to where most people think Israel is. And did you know the road that they have that goes from Egypt all the way down on the east side of the Nile? It's called the 40-Day Road. There's a guy that is an author. He wrote a book. Look it up. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But it's called the 40-Day Road. And it's literally a road from Egypt on the, I think it's the east or near the Nile River, that goes straight down. I haven't fully looked into it yet, but it perked my interest as soon as I understood the number 40. And of course, Yahushua was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, what, 40 days. And there's other 40s in there too. You just got to look it up. But the Most High, like I said before, he's on his own time and it does not get disturbed. So I always warn people, you better start, you know, having some sense of urgency. I mean, now I can't rush the Most High's calling or his purpose for you, but you need to start doing the work more diligently to at least help yourself. Because once the covering is gone, or once the hedge is breached, it's breached. And if you are not prepared, you won't know what to do. You will just be scrambling. Yes, you rely on the Most High, but why make yourself, why vex your spirit? Why vex your Ruach to go through all this when you can start now, ASAP? And Noah and his household and all the living creatures that were with him came into the ark on account of the waters of the flood, and Yahuwah shut him in. And all the sons of men that were left upon the earth became exhausted through evil on account of the rain, for the waters were coming more violently upon the earth, and the animals and beasts were still surrounding the ark. And the sons of men assembled together about 700,000 men and women, and they came unto Noah to the ark, and they called to Noah, saying, open for us, that we may come to you in the ark, and wherefore shall we die? And Noah with a loud voice answered them from the ark, saying, have you not all rebelled against Yahuwah, and said that he does not exist, and therefore Yahuwah brought upon you this evil to destroy and cut you off from the face of the earth? Is it not this thing that I spoke to you 120 years back, and you would not hearken to the voice of Yahuwah? And now do you desire to live upon the earth? Just like it will be today. If we keep talking about the days of Noah, we need to understand what was going on through the people's minds. Then for 120 some years, they had them rebel and not to ever turn until they saw that the rain was falling. And that's exactly how it would be with men today, men and women and children. That's why they mock us, they laugh, they stay within whatever doctrine they're in until the rain starts dropping. Then it's about, oh, pray for us. And trust me, a lot of you who are waking up in your families, or the first ones to wake up in your families, you're going to get so many texts and phone calls and messages telling, oh, pray for us, pray for us. They're going to know who's being saved and who's being protected and who has a covering about them. They're going to start calling you, because now they won't know where to go. And the person that they shunned, which is you, they're going to be like, oh, maybe he was right. But it's going to be too late. They're going to be at your door, not necessarily your ark, but they're going to be at your door, knocking, beating on your door or on your windows, be like, yo, pray for me, help me. And they said to Noah, we are ready to return to Yahuwah. Only open for us that we may live and not die. And Noah answered them, saying, behold, now that you see the trouble of your souls, you wish to return to Yahuwah. Why did you not return during these 120 years, which Yahuwah granted you as the determined period? But now you come and tell me this on account of the troubles of your souls. Now also Yahuwah will not listen to you, neither will he give ear to you on this day, so that you will not now succeed in your wishes. Where did I hear this before? That the Most High not going to listen. I've heard this before in Proverbs 1, verse 24 to 29. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes, When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yahuwah. It's going to be exactly what we talked about then. It's going to be exactly what we're talking about now. It has not changed. Human beings have not changed. This is the beauty of the Most High. I smile. I have joy because we are allowed to have this certain knowledge and this certain ruach that can only be given by being obedient to the Father. You can't get this ruach and this knowledge and this understanding by being in the doctrines of man, because you're going to defend the man more than you defend, or you defend the man and your feelings and your emotions towards it, rather than what's truly right. What the Most High actually said, what Yahusha actually did. And the sons of men approached in order to break into the ark, to come in on account of the rain, for they could not bear the rain upon them. And Yahuwah sent all the beasts and animals that stood around the ark, and the beasts overpowered them and drove them from that place. And every man went his way, and they again scattered themselves upon the face of the earth. And the rain was still descending upon the earth. And it descended 40 days and 40 nights, and the waters prevailed greatly upon the earth, and all flesh that was upon the earth or in the waters died, whether men, animals, beasts, creeping things, or birds of the air. And there all only remained Noah and those that were with him in the ark. So it's up to you. We've been already given this understanding and this knowledge and the obedience to come search him 10 times after we have found him. He's not giving everybody this information. So I know we hang our heads when we either sin or we make mistakes or we have personal issues. We have childhood trauma or relationships trauma that we're trying to work through. Listen, baby, it's none of that now. We have to put the focus on him. We have to put the focus on the Son. Once you start doing that, you start forgetting that you have childhood trauma. You start forgetting you are a victim of relationship trauma. When you change your relationship from the victim mentality to how do I serve, praise, and worship the Father, your life will change. Trust me, it will change. But so much you can do with your victim mentality or your victimizing of yourself through past relationships or past situations. It's but so much you can go with that. Because when the rain starts dropping, you're going to forget all of that anyway. When that first raindrop hits the ground or hits your house or hits the windshield, you're not going to be caring about, oh, this will happen to me and why people can't understand me. Oh, this happened to me and this is the reason why I was acting out like this. It's not going to be none of that. You're going to be like, oh, how do I get myself prepared? And it's going to be too late. A lot of Christians, Jesus got me. Jesus saves. But they don't even know what that means. They think, oh, he came and died for my sins, so we're good. All I need to know is I know that he was crucified for my sins. That's all I need to do. That's all I need. I'm good. But they don't even read the New Testament. I can go into the Apocrypha and the books that were taken out to debunk all their arguments, but I'll stick to the New Testament. And this is what you could use against them every time they mention that. 1 John, verse 1-4. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahusha HaMashiach, the righteous. First of all, he says, don't sin. But if you stumble, and as we all stumble and fall sometimes, that we don't get down on ourselves. We don't stay victimizing ourselves, because the reason why we sin is because what happened to us in our past relationships or past situations. No, we dust ourselves off. We get back to the commandments. We fast, we repent, and we try not to sin again. But we're not out here doing back to back to back, like it's a Catholic church. We just walk in Sunday and just give confession to a priest and be like, all right, we're going back to sinning Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's not that. It's not that type of walk. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we guard his commandments. We know him if we guard his commandments. And what was one of his commandments? His first great commandment is what? Love Yahuwah Elohaka with all your mind, your heart, and your soul. And if you love Yahuwah, that means you must love what he loves and you must hate what he hates. He that says, I know him and guards not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. That means any religion that they call the Abrahamic religions do not know anything about Yahushua HaMashiach. They don't even know the power of his true name. But going to tell you in the comment sections, from Corinthians to Romans to Acts to even John, they're going to tell you, oh, we know him. We know he saves. We know he died for our sins. That's all they know. But they'll never tell guard commandments or any laws or any statutes or to love Yahuwah, because they're out here replacing Yahuwah with Jesus, saying that Jesus is a God. Jesus created the world. Jesus came down as God, and them two and those three are one. They teach this so you never think about the prophecy and judgments of the Father, because the ones that gave you the religion is the victims of Yahuwah's vengeance. They are the target of his judgment. So yeah, I would cook up a doctrine to get you to focus on a European savior that combined with the Father, so you don't have to worry about the judgment of the Father, because you now have the Son. Those three are one with the Spirit. There's never been a real, true Holy Spirit or Ruach HaKodesh in a Christian church. I've known this growing up in them. People jumping up, shaking, falling out. I seen it and I felt it. It's never been a ruach. I always wondered, like, why didn't this spirit ever touch me going into church? It makes you crazy almost, because it makes you think like, okay, I will never be one of God's children because I don't get up and jump and dance and fall out. Then I started thinking when I was as an adult that I got the Ruach HaKodesh without even leaving my house. I got the Ruach HaKodesh when I talk to you. I got the Ruach HaKodesh when I'm praying, searching for his calendar, searching for his days, his feast days, searching for him. That's how I know I got the Ruach HaKodesh. I know because I shun being around certain people or certain places. I know because I don't sin. I can count on one hand the times I've sinned. I understood that. Over time, that the same things I lusted for aren't there anymore. My wants and my desires sometimes go out the window because it will conflict with his word. That's what the real Ruach HaKodesh does to you. The real Ruach will not let you participate in Thanksgiving dinner. The real Ruach will not let you participate in Easter, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Ash Wednesday. The real Ruach doesn't allow you to do that, because you search out everything before you even think about doing it. You think about the Father more than you think about yourself. You think about the Son before you make a move. Because we know now the times are short. The times are being quickened. Some of you young bucks and you young folks think you got time to play. And I'm sorry to say, we are the last generation, the Gen Xers, who actually were given so much long-suffering and grace for playing around too much. Because I think about the times, if I was going through what I went through in this generation, I'd already been dead. I would have already been sacrificed. I already know that. I'm telling you, young kids don't have that type of time. Even if you're 26, even if you're in your 20s or your early 20s, or even if you're in your teens, you do not have the type of time that we had, because time wasn't sped up as it is now. So while this time is being sped up to protect the righteous or to protect the elect, that means if you don't know if you are of the elect or not, I would have some type of sense, or I would demonstrate some sense of urgency into getting right and coming out of this world, because you're not going to accomplish the things you think you want to accomplish in this world. You need to start resting with that fact now. I know some of you have great aspirations about your job, your career, or what do you want to do with your talents. I get it. But the longer you're chasing that and not chasing the Most High, you are going to come under a different type of judgment, because like I said before, it does not matter who you are. The Most High is no respecter of persons. So when that rain comes, after he done thundered, after he done lightning, after he done given you time and time again to get it right, that rain gonna fall. It don't matter where you are. So while you thinking like, oh, I got time to mess around, that raindrop is going to fall. You won't be able to go knock on the ark to say, let me in. That's why it says it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you are thrust out of the kingdom. When he tells you, I never knew you, which means you never even called on his real true name to get to know him. While they was mocking and laughing at Noah, 120 years is crazy. If you think about it, him telling you for 120 years, where people lived a lot longer. Imagine somebody texting you every single day for 120 days. Yo, get right, get right, get right. He's coming, get right, he's coming. Prepare yourself, he's coming. Do these laws, do these statutes, he's coming. And still be like, all right, whatever. That's crazy. So I truly say this because I feel that y'all don't understand the sense of urgency yet. I can't rush the Most High's hand on your life. I know some of you have to go through certain things to prepare your spirits to receive blessings or receive covering and receiving the hedge. But you got to do whatever's in your power to start now. I'll see y'all next week.